Invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ruth. Ruth is in the Old Testament. You can find it on page 222 of your pew Bibles. This morning, reading Ruth chapter 2. That's on page 222. Last week, we looked at Ruth 1. And we'll be looking at a successive chapter for each of these Sundays leading up to Christmas. But hear God's word, Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll be reading to the end of the chapter. But this is the word of God. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." And then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young man, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, Besides, said to me, You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you that all of Scripture is God-breathed. Lord, thank you that that's true from the first chapter, first verse of Genesis, right through to the end of Revelation. And Lord, even as we study this Old Testament book of Ruth, pray that you would give us minds to understand, hearts to obey. And Lord, pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work, Father, so that we would see Christ at the center. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. When you read the Christmas story in Luke's gospel, you'll find that it's filled with surprises. You know, think of the angel Gabriel's visit to Mary when she was betrothed to Jesus. And she was told that she would bear a son and call his name Jesus. You know, then we move ahead to the angels who appeared to the shepherds in the fields and the surprising announcement of good news of great joy that will be for all of the people because of the birth of the glorious, our glorious Lord and Savior, even Jesus Christ. You know, but here in the Old Testament book of Ruth, the Lord God also surprises his people with the birth of a baby. You know, we're not there yet. We'll see that at the end of Ruth chapter 4, where Boaz and Ruth are married, and Ruth bears that child, Obed, who is in the line and lineage of David, part of Jesus' earthly family tree. But before we get to that point where the Lord surprises his people with the Redeemer, you know, let's take a moment and look back. If you were not here last week or need your memory refreshed, remember in Ruth chapter 1, we saw the heartbreaking ruin of Naomi with this famine in her homeland. She and all the family were forced to flee to the country of Moab. Moab there on the southeast corner of the Dead Sea, not part of the promised land. There had been conflict, especially spiritual conflict between Moab and the Israelites. There in Moab, Naomi endured funerals, not just for her husband, but for her husband and then her two sons. And then she humbly returned to Bethlehem. But she was not alone. Ruth, her daughter-in-law, her Moabite daughter-in-law, accompanied her. But still, we heard Naomi's bitter words against the Lord. But there were surprising glimmers of hope and faith, even in Ruth chapter 1. We saw it with Ruth's profession of faith there in chapter 1, verse 16, where Ruth told Naomi, Your God shall be my God, your people, my people. You know, there was Ruth professing her faith in the one true and living God, and as Ruth chapter 1 closed, it was the beginning of barley harvest. The famine was coming to an end. But the surprises continue here in Ruth chapter 2. Here, the Lord providentially embraces surprising strangers. And that's what Ruth is. The Lord providentially embraces surprising strangers and extends his saving purposes. Well, how does the Lord show his surprising providence here in Ruth 2? First, it's a surprising provision, and then a surprising protection, and finally, a surprising plan of salvation. We begin there with Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, God's surprising provision. This providential gleaning by Ruth in Boaz's field. You know, but take a moment and focus on Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. You know, there God in Scripture gives us a surprising clue that helps us understand Ruth 2 and the chapters that are to follow. And this is known only to us as the reader. This is not known to Ruth. Hints of it with Naomi, but look at it. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. You know, here in God's word, the narrator here, I believe God himself says, keep your eye focused on Boaz. You know, a lot of characters here in this story, but keep your eyes focused on Boaz. Because he, as Sinclair Ferguson puts it, he is God's answer to Naomi's prayer. You remember Naomi's prayer back in Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly. May the Lord show his covenant love, his steadfast faithfulness with you. And Boaz will be the Lord's chosen means for answering that prayer. And some initial truths here about Boaz. You'll see that he is a relative of Naomi's husband. That's going to become very important. He's a worthy man, a man of courage, a man of Christian character. But finally, he's of the clan of Elimelech. Not only related to Naomi's family, related to Naomi's family through Naomi's husband. So keep your eyes fixed on Boaz. But let's take a look at Ruth's humble labors. Beginning in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2, we're brought back to Ruth and Ruth the Moabite. You know, that title for Ruth is used throughout this book. It's never just Ruth, but we as a reader are always called to remember this is Ruth the Moabite, Ruth the foreigner, Ruth the stranger, Ruth the alien in a foreign country. You know, Ruth humbly, though, asked permission from Naomi, the mother of her dead husband, to go out in the fields to glean. Told the children a little bit, gleaning is God's provision for poor people to work for food. The field owner would have his own hired workers in the fields, but they would leave the edges of the field unpicked in accord with the truth of God's word so that the working poor could come in and glean. You can give you one example of it, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 and following, Leviticus 19, verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. Why? Now hear God's word. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You know, and so God graciously had this gospel provision in caring for the poor and the needy. It was God's providential plan to provide for the working poor. And Ruth has this request to go out into this field after him in whose sight I shall find favor, and that's Boaz. And so Naomi grants her permission, and presumably Ruth also got permission to glean in this field. Not that she needed that permission, but it reveals something about the character of Ruth. But now look at the last part of verse 3. So she set out, went out, and gleaned in the field after the reapers. She happened, or by chance, to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. And now you can begin to see the providence of God. You know, the literal translation almost carries out to this, as chance would have it. You know, and for the godly reader, you know, those who would know the truth of God's word, you say, no, God's not a God of chance. He doesn't work randomly. But it catches our interest here. And we see God's surprising provision for Ruth. Sarah Ivill puts it this way in her work on Ruth. Ruth's heavenly father was providentially involved in her life to bring her to the field of her Redeemer. You know, from an outside point of view, it seemed like chance, but the Lord very much is at work here. You know, God's providence in Naomi's heart to soften her, to grant permission to Ruth, God's providence in sending Ruth to the field to glean, God's providential surprise in placing Ruth in this field of Boaz. You know, using the word providence, you know, there are words Christians often use, and they assume that everyone knows what they're talking about, but if providence is a newer word or an unfamiliar word to you, give me a moment to define it. And the best explanation of it actually comes from our Westminster Shorter Catechism commentary on the Word of God. You know, question number 11, what is the providence of God? And the short answer is this: God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving, governing all his creatures and all their actions. But let me give you one scriptural example. Could give you many. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 and following. This is Jesus speaking, Jesus teaching. And we read this. Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered." You know, it's God's providential care. You know, not only over nations and kingdoms, you know, but his providential watch care even over this widower, Ruth, over her mother-in-law, Naomi. God's providential watch care even over sparrows, even numbering the hairs of our head. This is God's surprising providence at work. And we catch a note of that surprise there. And back to Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. "Now behold Boaz." All this is taking place. Ruth is out in the field gleaning. And now Boaz, who will be the Redeemer, comes from Bethlehem. Again, that significance of Bethlehem. And a few things here we can see about Boaz, or the very first thing, his greeting of his workers. We can see this is a godly man. You know, try this Monday when you go into the workplace. "The Lord be with you." And you can't say it quietly. You have to say it loudly so that it echoes down the hallways. And you can text me, tell me what kind of response you get. But look at Boaz's workers. "The Lord bless you." You know, this was the pattern for their lives. They knew their boss was a godly man, and they were blessed under his godly leadership. And they were with pure hearts saying, "Well, Lord, the Lord bless you, Boaz." You know, it's a beautiful and biblical greeting. We've talked about greetings. Try that next time we greet. "The Lord be with you." And the answer, "The Lord bless you." But now Boaz asks a question of his foreman there, picking up the pace here. You know, whose young woman is this? The NIV actually gets a better sense of the translation. Who does that young woman belong to? He thought of Ruth as a slave, a servant. She's not one of my slaves, not one of my servants. You know, who's her master? Who owns this woman? And immediately, the servant who was in charge of the reapers is able to give a wealth of information about Ruth, her ethnicity. She's a Moabite, a young Moabite woman. Secondly, she embraced Naomi's family. Third, she was a woman who worked with Christian ethics. You know, before she went out to glean, she asked, "Please let me glean and gather." You know, she brought glory to God even in her work ethic. You know, before we move on, remember that the Lord providentially led Ruth to Boaz's field, where she could glean the barley. Here we see the providential provision of God. You know, and this is not an isolated incident in Scripture, but it's helpful in our own lives to see God's surprising provision. You know, I may have told you this story before and have to abbreviate it. You know, I'll give a brief testimony of God's surprising provision. You know, in May of 2007, the Lord made it clear it was time for a new pastoral call after 9 years of ministry at the church I was serving in Jackson, Mississippi. The Lord providentially placed me and Lynn in a precious country church just outside of Jackson. But in June 2010, actually at an Indelible Grace concert at the Ryman Auditorium, you know, I was fixing to go into the concert and literally crossed paths with a friend, Howard Davis, who's a friend and fellow minister up at Shreveport, the church where Seth and Jamie Beado used to attend. And just even knowing Howard Davis, I had preached once at his father's church in Indianola, Mississippi, back in 1992, and that began the string of events where we became friends. And in our 32nd encounter at the concert, he asked if he could pass my name onto a church that was looking for a pastor. You know, he didn't even say it was Hope Presbyterian Church, and I said, sure, and that was the extent of our conversation. And then in the fall of that year, 2010, you all sent a letter requesting my ministerial data, later sent it to the Pastoral Search Committee, a little bit of a delay there, I know, because I was struggling to understand the providence, the plans of God. You know, leaving a comfortable and a fruitful church in March of 2011, I think it was March, Catherine and Alicia came up to Edwards, and we visited, and Lynn and I came down here a few months later to visit the city and the church, and in July 2011, you called me to be your pastor. You know, all of that to say, you know, God's providence is real. You know, and at times it's surprising, but it's sure. You know, God has a plan, and he works with a purpose. Jay Adams, theologian, put providence this way, a one-sentence definition. Providence is the name of the biblical teaching that God not only planned his work, but actively works his plan. God not only planned his work, but actively works his plan. You know, even in seemingly small details, God's providence is at work. You know, even with two sparrows, even with the number of hairs on your head. You know, and if that's true in small things, how much more is it true in big things? Especially with our salvation, when God is preparing to send his son, his one and only son, because he so loved the world. So that's the first truth about providence, a surprising provision of God, but the surprising protection There's a providential guarding of Ruth by Boaz. Listen to Boaz's first words of love that he speaks to Ruth in this biblical courtship. Verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women." You know, that'll win a woman's heart over in a nanosecond. You know, but what does it tell us about Boaz? You know, he cares for Ruth. He calls her my daughter. You know, it seems there was an age difference there. Ruth was much younger than Boaz, not sure of the age. But he had affection for her. He called her my daughter. And he not only expressed his love, but he showed it as well. Don't go to glean in another field. Keep close to my young women. I want you to be safe and secure. No, don't be a solitary worker. And then when you are thirsty, and this is a surprising fact here, you know, when you are thirsty, we read there in verse 9, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. You know, in Bible times, usually it was the women who drew water for the men. That was their duty. You know, think of Rebecca in the Old Testament, Genesis 24, the woman at the well, John 4. And here Boaz is telling Ruth, well, the young men will draw the water and you get to drink the water that they have drawn. Boaz also charged his young men not to touch. You know, that's a little bit of a euphemism. Not to sexually assault, sexually harass Ruth out there in the harvest fields. And what's Ruth's response there in verse 10? You know, it's a response of glad thanksgiving. She fell on her face, bowing to the ground, not so much to Boaz, but to the Lord. You know, why have I found favor, grace in your eyes, that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? You know, here's God's surprising mercy to a non-Israelite. And Ruth gives praise to God for that. But isn't that the gracious pattern of our loving Heavenly Father? You know, God's gracious care for Rahab, for the Samaritans. You know, God's gracious care for you and for me, including us, adopting us, embracing us in his family of faith. And so Boaz commends Ruth for her love for her mother-in-law there, beginning in verse 11, for her labors in the harvest fields, her difficult decision to part from her family and her homeland, to journey to Bethlehem, to a people that you did not know before. In fact, it's such a great statement of faith here about Ruth. These words almost echo a truth in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 about Abraham. Keep your Bibles open there to that portion of Ruth, but hear this. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your own country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And isn't that exactly what Ruth had done? That same strong faith in a sovereign God that Abram had, we see here in Ruth. And Boaz commends Ruth for that faith in God. He prays that the Lord would repay her for all that she has left behind, would reward her. And he prays that Ruth would prize the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. You know, we could camp out for a month of Sundays just on that verse alone. Under whose wings you have come to take refuge. You know, there's the providence of God. You know, he cares for us. Just like a mother hen uses her wings to protect, to shield, to guard those defenseless chicks, how much more does the Lord protect us? under whose wings you have come to take refuge. We saw it there in Psalm 91. And Ruth expresses her appreciation to Boaz for showing his favor to this, her foreigner. She says, "You have comforted me and spoken to the heart of your maidservant, though I am not as one of your maidservants." And once again, there in verse 14, Boaz communes with Ruth, showing his protection. He invites her to feast in the fields, draw near, dine on some bread, dip your morsel in this wine vinegar. Ruth sat and supped with Boaz and the reapers as they ate of the bread, enjoyed the wine. And I love this part. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. That shows the character of the God that loves us in Christ. You know, he doesn't just say, "Well, here's your meager portion. You better not grumble about it." The Lord gives us more than we could ever want, so that we are fully satisfied. Our cups run over with that joy of salvation. And Boaz here, again, we're flipping back and forth between these two characters. Boaz shows his gracious love and care for Ruth, beginning in verse 15. He instructs his harvesters to, you know, he says, "Let her glean even among the sheaves." You know, so while they've cut down the stalks, and even before they've gathered them together, he says, let Ruth have all that she wants. Don't deny her anything. And next he adds his physical and verbal protection for Ruth. Then he takes it even one step further. He says, "Well, pull out some of what you've harvested," there in verse 16. "Leave it for her to glean. Do not rebuke her. Do not threaten her physically. Don't speak any racial insults to her. Welcome her. Watch over her." Sinclair Ferguson, at the close of this section, writes this: "Bread, wine, roasted grain, protection, provisions. Is this a budding romance, or are we reading too much into Boaz's words?" I think not. You know, it's a wonderful expression of courtship taking place here, holy courtship, loving courtship. You know, but it's God's courtship of us as well in Christ. You know, how could we refuse a gracious, generous, good love such as that? And Ruth here, bringing it to a close here in the next few minutes here, Ruth resolutely gleans in the field until evening. Her duty's not done. She not only gleans, she beats it herself. That was hard work. You took a curved stick or a wooden hammer. You had to beat out the grain to separate the wheat, the barley, from the chaff. And note the extraordinary amount that she prepares to carry home with her. Our English versions say, well, it's an ephah. To put it in a weight category, some would say it's anywhere from 25 to 30 pounds of grain. More than enough to supply Ruth and Naomi for three or more weeks. And keep in mind that Ruth is the one who carries that 30-pound stack of grain home with her. And all because of Boaz's watch care, protection over her. But look, finally, just here in the last bit here, God's surprising plan of salvation. Ruth returns home with her hefty harvest load, even brings a to-go box with her leftover lunch to share with empty Naomi. Remember, Naomi complained, you know, "I was full, but now I returned home empty." And here's Ruth, you know, saying, "Naomi, I thought you were empty. I thought you were hungry." You know, God's going to provide for you too, Naomi. God cares for you too. And there's a little back and forth there, you know, Naomi being the good mother-in-law, and I did have a good mother-in-law. You know, she's got a million questions for her daughter-in-law. You know, where did you glean today? Whose field did you work in? And then Ruth says the man's name was Boaz, and bells and whistles go off in Naomi's mind and heart at that point. May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living and the dead. Naomi also said to her, this man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. Stay tuned. We'll be unpacking that truth here. You know, but redeemer is the one who is going to be used from the Lord to buy back the land, to take Ruth as his own wife, to give her a family name, to produce a seed that will be a descendant of David in the family line of the Lord Jesus Christ, a redeemer who is Christ the Lord. And closes there, Ruth the Moabite tells Naomi of Boaz's watch care over her in the fields. Blessing upon blessing, she gleans not only during barley harvest, but the wheat harvest, which follows right on the heels of the barley harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. And I close with this. You know, Christian brothers and sisters, you know, when was the last time that you were surprised by the Lord's providence? His provision, his protection, his providential plan of salvation. You know, the Lord delights to surprise us with his great and gracious love for us in Christ. And so that's my prayer for you and for me, that we would once again be not only surprised by God's providential love for us, but that we as well would bow down and fall on our faces and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for sending us a Redeemer in the Lord Jesus Christ, even using your gospel servants like Ruth and Naomi and Boaz to accomplish your perfect plan, your sovereign will. Lord, thank you that you're still at work in our lives and in your church. And Lord, may we be those who not only delight in your sure love, but that we would as well declare that great and gracious love to others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.